Good morning. My name is David, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Economic Policy Guidance 2012 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Undersecretary Gerardo Rodriguez. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the proposed economic program for 2012. I would like to just remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. Here with me is Miguel Mesmacher, our chief economist, and Alejandro Diaz de León, Director General for Public Debt Management, to answer any questions that you may have after our introductory remarks. I would like to go over what I think is the most relevant issues, as well as to highlight some essential elements of the program. Let me get started with the Mexican economy and the outlook for 2011. During the second semester of this year, the Mexican economy is expected to maintain a similar pace of growth as that observed during the first semester. Domestic demand is expected to continue to expand, and with respect to external demand, even though moderate growth is expected in the U.S., the negative effects associated to the problems in Japan will dissipate. Mexico's GDP is expected to grow at an annual rate of 4% in 2011 as a whole, which is similar to what private sector analysts have as it was captured in the latest Banxico survey at the beginning of this month. For this year also, we estimate that the public sector deficit will be around half a percent of GDP, which equals 70 billion pesos, in line with what was approved by Congress. Budgetary revenues are expected to be slightly higher than those estimated in the revenue law of 2011 by 20.3 billion pesos, which is a result basically of higher oil-related revenues, higher public entities' revenues, also higher non-tax revenues, which is offset, all these items on the positive side are offset partially by lower tax revenues by 70 billion pesos. We expect that by the end of the year, the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements will have declined by 0.2 percentage points of GDP to end the year at 36.6% of GDP. In terms of the economic perspectives for 2012, as you saw in our economic package, we're expecting for GDP to grow by 3.5% in 2012, which is again similar to the forecast of private sector analysts. Inflation is forecast at 3%. The average reference price for the Mexican oil mix is also estimated at $84.9 per barrel, and it is anticipated that oil production, the oil platform, will remain at the same level for which we established for 2011 economic package, at $2.55 million per day. In terms of public finances for 2012, the budget deficit is expected to be 0.2% of GDP, which equals 36.7 billion pesos, and it is consistent with the multi-annual strategy established in the economic policy guidelines for 2011, which establishes that the public deficit without Pemex investment would decline by 0.3 percentage points of GDP with respect to the deficit of 2011, which, as you know, was 0.5% of GDP. Pemex investment remains a constant as a proportion of GDP at the level approved in 2011 of 2 points of GDP. In terms of public revenues, for the third time in the current administration, there was no substantial changes to the tax code. The program proposes just different simplifications of the regulation of fiscal receipts, the elimination of additional fees, and the strengthening of the fiscal federalism. Let me just comment on some of these simplification items on the regulation. There is the elimination of 140 federal fees. There is the decrease of the requirements for tax receipts from 158 to 26. We also will allow that account statements could be used as digital vouchers, and also we are planning to allow the payments of fees and royalties through electronic transfer and credit and debit cards. The program also includes, in terms of the federalism aspect to that, it allows state governments to establish a sales and services tax to the general public with a maximum rate of 5%. This will add on top of the current value-added tax rates. It has certain limitations on different items that are for exclusive tax possibilities at the federal government level. Additionally, as you know, and as it has been commented widely here in the press, the vehicle ownership tax is eliminated as a federal tax, and it is transferred to states for their own legislation. In general, budgetary revenues for 2012 are expected to be higher by 3.8% in real terms with respect to the revenue law of 2011, and by 3.1% in real terms against our estimates for the end of this year. When we exclude the vehicle ownership tax from the base of comparison, the adjusted growth rates are 4.4% with respect to the approved and 3.6% with respect to our estimate for 2011. Within total revenues, oil related revenues are expected to grow by 10.3% in real terms with respect to the revenue law of this year, mainly, of course, to higher oil prices. And with respect to our own estimate for the end of this year, they are expected to grow by 5.8% in real terms. Tax revenues decreased by 2.3% in real terms against those approved in 2011, and increased by 2.5% in real terms against the updated estimate for the end of the year. When we again exclude the vehicle ownership tax, the decrease with respect to the amount approved in 2011 is 1.2%, and the increase in relation to the estimated amount is 3.7%. The reduction, as you know, with respect to the approved amount is mainly due to the significant increase in value-added tax refunds that we have observed during the first few months of the year, and also due to lower consumption of tobacco. Revenues from entities and companies other than Pemex will increase by 4% in real terms with respect to those estimated for 2011, mainly due to higher economic activities, and non-oil revenues will decrease by 22.2% in real terms with respect to our estimate for 2011 as well, because of the lower non-recurrent revenues, which, by the way, is in line with the multi-annual strategy for public finances established in the economic policy guidelines for this year, which consider a declining trend in the use of non-recurrent revenues during the period from 2010 to 2012. In terms of the public expenditure strategy, also consistent with the expected evolution of revenues and budget deficit, the ceiling for programmable expenditures without the investment by Pemex will increase by 3.4% in real terms with respect to the level approved for this year. And also the total level of expenditures without investment by Pemex will increase by 2.6% in real terms. Programmable expenditures excluding investment by Pemex will be higher by 6.7% and 3.4% in real terms with respect to the proposed and approved amounts for 2011. In terms of a public credit, in the terms of a public debt strategy for next year, the program implies a net domestic debt ceiling of 395 billion pesos, as well as net foreign debt ceiling of $7 billion. The net domestic debt ceiling requested by the government is lower as a percentage of GDP than the one that was authorized for 2011. The debt policy for 2010 will be oriented to cover the financial requirements of the federal government by proposing a balance between domestic and foreign debt that minimizes our borrowing costs, preserves the access to a wide variety of credit sources, and also continues to promote liquidity and an adequate performance and strength of the local debt markets, as it has been the case during the last few years. Just to finalize our comments, the public sector borrowing requirements for next year are expected to be at 2.6% of GDP, which is 0.3 percentage points lower than those anticipated for the end of this year, mainly due to the reduction of the public deficit. And also, in terms of the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements, they are expected to end 2012 at 36.4% of GDP, which is 0.2 percentage points lower than the one expected for the end of this year. So with that, we conclude our introductory remarks, and we can proceed now to the question and answer section. Operator.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And there are no questions at this time. I'm sorry, sir. We do have a question from the line of Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley.
Thank you for the call, Gerardo. A quick question. The press has run some articles about the governor's, the PRI's opposition to this 5% tax. What's your perception of the reception of this proposal so far, and what was the aim of introducing this now in the last year of the administration?
Yes, thank you, Luis. As you know, also in the press, there has been a number of different comments around the sustainability of some states' public finances and their issues around state public debt management. So based on several conversations that we've had with some state governments, actually some of them were asking for these. As you know, the amount of their own revenues, that say revenues generated by local direct taxes, is rather small in Mexico. There is a lot to go still in terms of strengthening their capacity to get recurrent sources of revenue. So this is an item, a legal item, that was actually introduced for the first time in 2002 in the revenue law back then, and it was not actually used then. This time around, we think that, there are some state governments, actually from the PRI, that are keen on exploring this further and potentially strengthen their tax base by using this facility. So we expect over the next few days for the discussion to actually normalize. We're seeing some appetite in some states and in some states to use it. So based on that, we would expect that the political discussion does not heat up in this respect, so that these governments, these state governments that have appetite to apply that, actually have a political room to maneuver and start using that. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerardo. And just to understand, this is a sales tax on top of the VAT, right?
Yeah, this is a final sales tax. It is not a value-added tax on itself. It is just a single final sales tax, which operates on top of the existing value-added tax, and everything, of course, goes to state governments.
So there would be inflationary implications, potentially.
Well, in the case that state governments apply that and this tax is fully transferred to consumers, you are right, prices, final prices would have to adjust accordingly.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time.
Can you ask one more time, just in case, before we wrap it up?
Yes, sir. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the roster. And there are no questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions, we would just like to thank everyone for participating in the call. As usual, we are always open to any questions or comments through our public debt office and the Office of Investor Relations. Please don't hesitate to send us an email or give us a phone call if you have any comments or questions. Thank you again.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.